You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, we have another special guest with us tonight. Now, he's usually playing guitar back here, but he's a little too excited to play tonight. Come up here, Aaron boy. This is Aaron, and he's in the... Did you tell me you're in the first grade?
I'm in the third.
In the first grade on the third row, right? Right?
No, I'm in
third grade. Oh, he's in the third grade on the first row? I got him all kind of confused, didn't I? But looky here. Now, this is a third grader. He won. Was it second place?
Tied in second place.
This is what's at Milam Elementary for their science fair. And what did you do? He flew to the moon and back, and that one, no, he made a board, and he won second place. Thank you, Aaron. God bless you. Another special treat tonight. Little Kenny's always sitting back here playing and picking and kind of looking down and frowning, but I found out Kenny can sing. Kenny had braces on for a bunch of years. He got them off a couple of months ago, and I finally talked him into singing a song. He said he's going to come, and he's going to sing a song we all know. It's Amazing Grace, but he's singing the verses you don't usually hear, so you probably won't know them. But anyway, Kenny, come on up, brother.
Blind, but now I see. I will fall off of the stool. Hi. Oh, let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for allowing me to be here tonight and use me as a vessel for your word. Father, whatever it is that you want someone to hear, please let it come from you, because it is all about you, Father God. We thank you for all your love and your blessings and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I am Laura Smith, and I'm not a preacher. I'm not even a public speaker. So what I have is an awesome journey, and I'm going to tell you about it. Now, this is my story as I know it. Others in my story have their own version. I was born the oldest of three children to a very religious, very strict father. And let me say that he did what he thought was right. And I can see that today. It took me a long time to see that what he saw as strict, I saw as mean. I was also born with a vision problem, and I was very clumsy. I had two surgeries when I was 5 for my vision, and, I still can't see. And some days is better than others. I've got this on, 22 font, and I brought my glasses just in case. I wore very thick glasses. I was very tall and very skinny, and what I remember the most of my childhood is being made fun of. For some reason that was never explained to me, I got kicked out of kindergarten. Now, who gets kicked out of kindergarten? Aren't those teachers supposed to love you and teach you how to function? My next memory was in fourth grade. I was sent to a school counselor. And I remember my father saying that the teacher didn't want to deal with me. My hole got bigger. My parents had expectations for their oldest child, and going weekly to a school counselor was not one of them. Junior high comes, and I'm still very tall and still very skinny, and I wear these very, very thick glasses. And all the other girls are wearing contacts, and they are beautiful. They're going to boy-girl parties, and they come to school on Mondays and talk about them, and I didn't get to go. My hole grew bigger. At church, I hear if you got baptized, when you came out of the water, you would be a new creation. I went forward, and I was baptized. All I got was wet. My life did not change, and my hole got bigger. High school came, and now there were dates and cars, and everyone was at school on Monday talking about all the fun that they had had over the weekend, but I was not invited. The hole grew bigger. Then I discovered drugs and alcohol. It took me places I never would have experienced, good and bad. I thought the alcohol was filling the hole. At 17, I met a man. He lived in his own house, and there were no rules. Now, I was drinking every day and smoking pot daily in his house, and the hole didn't seem so big. There was always people around, and it was so much fun. I had maintained my grades. At some point, I learned how to manipulate the teachers and cheat, tools that would be very handy later. I graduated with honors and had a full scholarship to Odessa College, but all I wanted to do was drink and get high. I married that man. We had two daughters, lots of alcohol and drugs over the next 16 years. Those daughters went places, saw things, and did things little girls should never see or do. Don't get me wrong, there were good times, but but the bad times were really bad. I was not happy in the marriage, and I was still trying to fill that hole in my middle. Because of my upbringing, I had always kept my daughters in church. On Sunday mornings, we were there, even if I was drunk or hungover. But in 1995, 96, that even stopped. The drinking got worse. I drank to pass out or black out, and I did most nights. I tried to commit suicide 3 times. I was done. The evil had taken over. February of 1997, my youngest daughter went with a friend to a teenager's retreat, which is called DNOW, and it stands for Discipleship Now. She came back different, and she wanted to start going to church. And she had the one picked out she wanted to go to. The first few Sundays, her sister took her. But there was this one Sunday, her sister wasn't available. And I couldn't just go take her and drop her off. I went in. And they sang a song. And the words to that song were, "You're awesome in this place, mighty God." And I could feel it. I knew God was in that place. And I really liked it. I started attending, and the church had committees, and I was a good committee person. I was the vice president of Rotary. I was the secretary of United Way. Surely they would want me on their committees. Sometime later, I asked the preacher about being on one of their committees. And he said, "I have to ask you one question. Have you been saved?" "Well, yes, I was baptized when I was 12. And he asked if I knew the exact moment I was saved. And I had to answer no. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you know the exact moment you were saved? His reply was, "If you don't know the exact moment that you were saved, you might not be saved." In my mind, I was just like, I just want to be on your committee. I just want to decorate the church. I want to teach Sunday school, you know, something like this. I'm drinking every day. I did start hearing some things like Mark 2:17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Translated, I didn't come to save. I didn't come for the saved. I came for the sinners. Oh, was I a sinner? No one is beyond the love of Jesus. He met with the low lives of his day. The lowest of low. And that was me. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Even the little old lady sitting on the front row. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord." Not too sure about that eternal life thing. Remember, I tried to commit suicide 3 times. Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I wanted to be transformed. For a period of time, I would go to church on Sundays, then I would go home and I would pour my alcohol out. But by Tuesday, I'd have to have a party to celebrate that I had been sober for 2 days. And I did this over and over and over. I was doing the same thing, expecting different results. Home life was getting worse and worse until one Saturday night, I heard my husband say to my sister that he was going to put me in Big Springs at the state hospital. Oh, no. We got to do something. I'd been calling a phone number in the phone book for Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to church that Sunday morning. Alcoholics Anonymous met at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I went there. It was awesome. The people who shared their stories and their journeys, I related to every one of them. There was probably about 7 or 8 people there, and the one thing that they all had in common was a relationship with God. When the meeting was over, they made a circle to say the Lord's Prayer. And the lady that started the prayer said, "He's not in the ceiling and he's not in the floor. He's in each and every one of you. Look into the eyes of the people in this circle and know that he is here. Our Father, who art in heaven." And I heard, "Oh my gosh, he's here. God's here." And they said the next line of the prayer. I was shaken. I was shaken. They finished the prayer. I didn't know the words to. Now, remember, I was raised in church, and I did not know the Lord's Prayer. When the meeting was over, we did find out there was someone outside working on the air conditioner, but it got my attention. I was paying attention. I didn't want to drink, and I didn't have any place to go. So I went back to church that night. Sunday night. Yes, I went to church on Sunday night, and the roof did not cave in. And I sat on the back row. I can't tell you what the preacher said, but he was really tall. He had really long arms and the most sensitive voice that I've ever heard. His name is Ivy Shelton. Some of you might have heard him before. And I don't know what he said, but he pointed that long arm and that long finger in my face. Now remember, I'm on the back row. And he said, "You are a sinner, and if you die, you're going to hell." And at that moment, I wanted to be saved more than anything else. So during the invitation song, I went forward. A lady went with me to a private place and asked why I had gone forward. And I told her I wanted to be saved. And we prayed a simple prayer, and I meant it with my whole heart. And I literally felt transformed. I left that night a new creation, a feeling I had never known before. That was September 21st, 1997, 7:45 p.m. I don't know the second. Romans 12:12 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I changed everything. My people, my playmates, my play places. Not because God said I had to, but because I wanted to. We are so lucky to have this church. Life Change Baptist Church, they don't care where you're from. They just care where you're going. We have opportunities just about every day to come and learn about Jesus' love and show Jesus' love. There's 2 services on Sunday mornings, plus Sunday school. Monday night Bible study with Leland. Tuesday, they have a group that goes out and visits people. Wednesday night Bible study. Thursday night rec room. Saturday morning church. And Sunday, we start all over again. There are people at this church that have been exactly where I have been. There's people who have been exactly where you've been. Each one of the sermons on Sunday is on CD, as well as Thursday night rec room. There's people here that will donate Bibles if you want a Bible to study with. If that's the case with you tonight, find somebody after church and get a Bible. I did continue to attend the AA meetings they had. 12 steps in writing on how to pursue life. People that understood what I talked about. And you see, the day I got saved, I lost every friend that I had. I could not return to that old lifestyle that included those friends. Jesus was my new best friend. The church gave me a mentor. Once a week for 6 weeks, we went to a session. And I also went and learned about the organizational part of church. Guess what? I got to be on the committee. Because of my transformation and learning God's way of life through Jesus Christ, the hole was filled. Filled with a love that I had never known before. The 12-step program taught me about a loving, caring God, and that if I had a daily reprieve with Him, He would take care of me in all areas of my life. My life was shattered beyond what I thought could be repaired. Once I gave Him my will and my life, He changed everything, the whole field, and I became a new creation. I walk with God, but most importantly, He walks with me. I know that He has walked with me since before September 21st of 1997. But today, I see Him with me. I have had some awesome experiences with Him. After being a Christian for a couple of years, I went back to a place in my mind that I had never wanted to visit again. But God was right there with me the whole time. There is a long God story that the time doesn't allow me to expound on, but hopefully I can come back one day and tell you about the things that God has done in my life over the past 16 years. One of the best is He got me out of that bad marriage. I don't condone divorce, but I stayed married for 3 years after I got saved. One day, there was not an option any longer. I had to make a decision that would again change my life forever. So I told God I needed Him. I told Him I would do anything that I needed to. I'd sleep in my truck. Whatever I had to do, I was not going back to that old lifestyle. Going home to my parents was not an option. I was in despair. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I had gotten a job, a real job, with a company. After I'd been saved for 6 months with a Christian company. At the time of my divorce, I had been there for 2 years. The week that I told God that I would do anything I had to, the company sold to a large corporation. I was given a $2 an hour raise, company paid health insurance, and a 401k plan. That same week, the apartment complex that I'd put my name on a year before called and they had a vacant apartment. The Christian man who sold the company was moving back to his lake house and had a whole apartment full of furniture that he was giving me for free, including a TV. Amen. That's right. I went to a spiritual retreat in October in Fort Davis, where I met a man whom I had known for a couple of years, and he invited me to a party with him. There was a man at the party. He was the one that the party was for, celebrating his birthday. He was so cute. Oh, darling. But the man I was with told me that he was married and that that was his 18-year-old child. Oh, he was so cute. And I had morals now. I was in charge of getting speakers for our group, our AA group in Andrews, and he called me the next week. But I didn't want anything to do with him. I had morals. He volunteered to come and speak, but our schedule was full. I told him I would call him, but I never did. One Friday night in December, I went with some friends to Midland to an AA meeting where the speaker spoke and told from behind the podium what he wanted in his future wife. Things like a job, her own car, not on parole or probation. Hey, I fit all those. And he was so cute. And he wasn't married. we ran into each other again at the end of January. Oh my gosh, he was so cute. He gave me his business card. Okay. And he was supposed to come to the dance that night, but he never showed up. So I emailed him on Monday and told him I was saving a dance for him. We emailed back and forth over the next few days, and we went on our first date Thursday, January 25th, 2001. My divorce was final January the 29th. If you want to hear more about that story, get with me sometime, because I'll tell you the real story. What he tells isn't the truth. He begged me to marry him, and I eventually said yes. On June the 15th of 2000, we were married. God gave me a godly husband. He took some work to get him there where he is today. But that's his story. I prayed for him, and God answered those prayers. 4 months after we married, Craig suffered a heart attack that required triple bypass surgery. God carried us through that. 2 years later, Craig had to turn himself into Ector County on a blue warrant with no charges, and he spent 4 months in jail in San Angelo pending trial, which never came. God carried us through that. We went through 2 parole hearings, and at both, I circled up over 25 people in the waiting room of the county jail, and we prayed over the hearings. God carried us through. We've had several medical scares, and God has always healed in spectacular ways. God has blessed our home and our business because we give to Him every day. Ecclesiastes 6, 9 through 10 out of the New Living Translation. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be, so there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. In the few days of our meaningless lives, who knows how our days can be best spent? Our lives are like a shadow. Who can tell what will happen on earth after we are gone? Today, our decisions and desires are to be close to God. And He blesses us every day with earthly blessings. But most importantly, He blesses our hearts and our spirits in dealing with our daily issues. If you don't know the exact moment you were saved, today is that day. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Let's bow our heads for a moment. What a question. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Do you know the day that you were saved? If you don't, like she said, maybe you need to take a look at it. Because nothing will have ever happened to you as important as coming to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Because it's a change from headed to hell, turning around, and going to heaven. It's a whole different everything. She said new friends, new places, new everything. We have in Christ. Maybe you saw part of your life in hers. Maybe you've experienced some of that. Maybe you've experienced other things. But tonight, as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God is opening His doors for anybody that wants to come. want you to think about you and about turning your life and your heart over to Jesus Christ. Of leaving here headed to heaven, regardless what happens, regardless of what great things happen or bad things, you still will be God's child when you trust Him. So we're going to pray just in a moment. With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, you say, Leland, when you pray, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up if you would? God bless you. I see your hand, sir, and yours. I see yours, sir. Anyone else? Yes, I see yours. You can put them back down after you put them up. Anyone? Yes, I see yours. Anyone else? Yes, at the back. God bless you. Yes, ma'am, I see yours. Anyone else? Real quickly, we're going to pray just in a moment. I want you to stand silently to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, and listen as we pray and mean business with God, our Father. You know our hearts. We probably put a lot of things over on a lot of people, but you know our hearts. And Father, tonight we want you to know our hearts because we want you to come into our heart, change our lives, and save us. Turn our life around. We ask you to do that in Christ's name. Now with heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Charles is going to start singing one verse of Just As I Am without one plea. And I want you to come right on the very first stanza and say, I come to trust Christ tonight as my Savior. I come right now. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Will you come? Come on.
Just
yes, sir, come. Come right on. Come right on. Come on. She'll talk to you right there. Doing what God wants you to do. You've been business with Him. Come on. With our heads still bowed, just the musicians playing. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you meaning business with Him? It's your choice. He will never push you. He'll let you make the choice. He'll never push Himself on you. But would you trust Him? We're going to play one more verse. No one comes, we'll be through. If you're not coming, now would you pray that others would? Are you praying for what God would have be done today?
Thank you.
In a moment, we're going to be dismissed. The music is over. The invitation is through. But you know what? God has not closed His doors. And if you mean business, He'll still be here when everybody else is gone. Our Father, thank You so much for the testimony tonight. Thank You for the openness. Thank You for the transparency of Laura and just telling it like it is. And Father, we thank You for that. Thank You for those that came for whatever the reason that they came to try to get some things right with You. Thank You for those that saved. Thank You for those that got themselves back in the right position. And thank You that they just stepped out to show themselves on Your side. Now, Father, bless us through the week. And if somebody failed to make that decision, don't let them rest till they do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Refreshments are open.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.